night I dug your picture out from our old dresser drawer. I set it on the table and I talked to it till four. I read some old love letters right up till the break of dawn. Yeah, I've been sitting alone, digging up bone. Then I went through the jewelry and I found our wedding rings. I put mine on my finger and I gave yours a fling. Across this lonely bedroom of our recent broken home. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I went through the closet and I found some things in there, like that pretty negligee that I bought you to wear. And I recall how good you looked each time you had it on. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet I'm not, I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
Randy Travis at Willie's Roadhouse, and we're visiting today, if you're just joining us, with Diane Dieckmann, author of a brand new book on Randy. And we've discussed in detail the great book on Farron and the one on Marty Robbins as well. But let's talk a little bit about the brand new book. I thoroughly enjoyed this thing. It's called Storms of Life. Randy Travis just came out in August or July, I guess it was, wasn't it, when it first came out?
The end of June, the 24th, yeah.
Right. Why did you decide to write a book on Randy? And I asked that for a couple of different reasons. Number one, he's still with us. The story is still unfolding, so to speak. And good grief, let's face it, writing books is difficult. There's a lot of research that goes into it, a lot of commitment from the author. But was there a light switch that went on in your head that said, I got to write this book, there's a story to be told here?
Well, there was. The first two I had written were about singers who were dead, and so they automatically have a limited audience. It's a niche market. And I decided the third time, and of course I got lots of suggestions about, you should write a book on this person, you should write a book on that person, mm-hmm. and they're all dead. And I thought, well, I want to write a book on a living person, but I want it to be somebody who has a broad enough fan base and is well known enough who would attract readers. And it had to be someone with some conflict, because if you don't have conflict in your life, then there is no story. Like I've told people, I wouldn't be interested in writing George Strait's biography. He's one of my favorite singers also. But
it's about two paragraphs, and it says he's a really, really nice guy, and he's got a lot of talent.
And he's got a lot of hit records.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of up. You have to have ups and downs to make an enthralling story. And Randy definitely had those in his life, and it was my same questions. Would I ever get tired of listening to his music? Would I ever get tired of talking about him? And I thought, no, that, and also he hadn't already had a biography written. Those all combined that he was it.
And there's a prevailing thread in all three of these books and all three of these subjects. They all had issues with their fathers.
That's it. And of course, I didn't realize that when I started writing Randy's book, but it is. All three of them were rejected by their abusive fathers. They all three wanted that approval. They all three became wonderful entertainers. I mean, they had the talent, obviously, but sure, they knew how to hold a crowd and do a show and to entertain and care about their audience. All three of them really loved their audiences and loved to be with their audiences.
One of the things I loved about the Randy Travis book was it gave the readers a chance to get the other side of some rumors that might have been prevalent and help set the record straight. You did a really good job of that in the book. And you didn't pull any punches. It wasn't candy-coated or anything like that. You put it all out there, but it showed the perseverance of Randy Travis, Randy Trawick at the time, to come and become who he was.
Yeah, it was a balance, and it was a lot like with Farron's biography, is I showed what a good person he was and how hard he worked and all the good qualities. And you can't deny the things that went wrong. They're there. You have to acknowledge them and talk about them. You don't have to dwell on that stuff, but it's there, and you have to explain it. And I was grateful in writing both about Randy and Farron that they did well in these situations. They took responsibility for what had happened. It wasn't like they were making excuses and it wasn't my fault.
No backtracking whatsoever, no.
It was nothing like that. It's, okay, I did that. And it, there was no malice or criminality or anything like that.
And your access to Mary and Randy was phenomenal in this book. So you can tell they were really into this being done and being written. I imagine that was a huge help, especially with the later years and stuff.
It certainly was. And it was a slow start because they didn't know who I was. And I'm sure there's been plenty of people who say, I want to do this and don't follow through. And that sort of thing. At least I already had some credibility with Farron's and Marty's biographies, but it was when their publicist, Zach Farnham, hooked me and my publisher up with Randy and Mary for a phone conversation. So we talked through it all, and then they realized that I was going to write a valid book and that it wasn't going to compete with Randy's memoir, because we told him, well, this biography is not going to be out for 5 years yet. So
this is going to take some time to write this thing.
It's not going to knock your memoir off the shelf.
Well, I would imagine you had to take a different approach slightly on this book as opposed to the other two, on Marty Robbins and Farron Young, because Randy Travis's story is still evolving. And
yes,
so the story is grows when, by the time you start the book and by the time you finish your book, there's a lot of things that going on that you probably had added the last minute or wish you would have.
No, and that worked out well. I knew from the beginning that I wanted to end the book with his induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame, which was 2016, and there were years to go after that. So I planned to do an epilogue to sum up, but I wanted to only hit the high points, that I wasn't going to delve into writing his life in detail for these past years, because, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out when is there an end point then? When should I stop writing and get this thing published? So that's why I wanted it to end with this Hall of Fame induction. And then when I did go into the epilogue and talked about his recovery from the stroke and the things that had been going on up through like 2021, after I turned in the book, after we had done the edits and probably the copy edit was already done, and then I put a new ending on it because I had to put in the story about his AI song and that whole recording. So I called Kyle Lenning and got the story about doing the AI song and having it released. And then he and Mary went to Capitol Hill and testified. So that's where I finally ended the book. I added those two things right to the epilogue after it was already finished.
I noticed that I was laughing about Kyle's trepidation with the AI whole setup with that. And I have to admit, I had it too when I first heard this was happening. I thought, oh no, this is not good. But in a situation like this, with an artist of Randy Travis's magnitude and the health struggles he's going through, I think it was something that was really, really special, and it was extremely well done. It sounded incredible. I loved every minute of that song.
And it was really funny when Kyle was afraid to push the button
there's a lot of moving parts behind there that you can't control. You know, you're basically taking samples of a man's voice and somebody else singing the song and switching it out altogether. And that's got to be a rather intimidating experience, even for somebody like him.
But that, I'm so glad that worked out that I could tell that story, because that certainly was an important thing to have in the book and in both of them. And it was a nice closing to the book to show that Randy and Mary were on Capitol Hill testifying.
Folks, we're visiting with Diane Diekman, author of the great new book, The Storms of Life, Randy Travis. And Diane, I know in the first two books on Farron Young and Marty Robbins, there was a great audio book feature on those things as well. Any plans to do one for the latest Randy Travis book?
Marty Robbins and Farron Young, Frank Gerard did the audiobooks on them, and we're just working on the contract. He will be doing the audiobook on Randy also. So then all three of them will have audiobooks. All three of them are still available. I mean, Randy's obviously, but Marty's and Farron's are still in print. They can still be ordered from the University of Illinois Press. They can all three of them be ordered from Amazon. And like you said, there are also ebooks on all three of them.
And are they available through your website?
They can contact me through my website, but since I have a publisher, I cannot advertise selling those books because people are supposed to buy them from the publisher. But if people contact me through my website, I can send them autographed copies of my
book. That's what I was getting at right there. I want to make sure that the copies have autographs from you on these things.
Right. And for people who want autographed copies, they contact me through my website at dianediekman.com, and I will send them. And of course, my three memoirs are available through my website.
Captain Diane Diekman, it's been a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you for your service, not only to your country, but also to country music.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Once again, the new book is called Storms of Life, Randy Travis. Just came out this last summer. Pick up your copy today. Diane, I can't thank you enough for visiting with us today and taking some time with us, because I've been wanting to do this for a while now, and I was tempted with the Marty Robbins book and the Farron Young book. We talk about them a lot on the air, and this new one here from Randy Travis, it just blew my skirt up. It was just fantastic. So thank you for writing all these books, and I hope there's plenty more to come.
Well, thank you.
Diane Diekman visited with us today, Willie's Roadhouse. Here's some Randy Travis.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. And 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home in 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher. He gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.